But I want to give you just a few thoughts about Vision Day. I want to show you two videos, and then I want us to just go where God wants us to go. Amen? Are you a church that can hang with? This is like old school church. When I went to church when I was a kid, it was like you didn't know when you were getting out. If you're a guest, you're getting out soon, okay? They got clocks on the back with countdowns, and I'm on a short leash. So you don't have to worry about that. You've hung with us this long, and it's going to be amazing. But can I just tell you, it was 12 years ago, we had our very first Vision Day. And so this is our 12th annual Vision Day. And I look back and I think, man, what God has done is with man it would have been impossible. But how many know with God all things are possible? With God all things are possible. The with God, that's the catalyst. It's the X factor, the with God. And God has done some amazing things, and I'm so glad that he's writing this story. Aren't you glad that God is the author and the finisher? Because when I start to try to become the author, I run out of the right words, and I lose the plot line, and things take unexpected detours and turns. But he's the author who sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and he doesn't just see it as if he's observing it and watching it powerless to intervene. He can intervene. He can change your storyline. And with God, all things are possible. And Vision Day goes way back. It doesn't just go back 12 years. In fact, I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. And that's right around the middle of the Bible and a few pages towards the back. Just hit the middle and flip towards the back. You'll find the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 5, because the prophet Isaiah had a vision day. And he needed vision. You need vision. We all need vision. And in my Bible, Isaiah 6 is entitled The Commissioning of Isaiah. But I would submit an alternative heading, because when you read it, what you realize, it's really the convincing of Isaiah. It's the commissioning. It's God calling him. But how many know sometimes we can be a little reluctant? We can be a little hesitant. And I'm glad we serve a God who takes time to persuade us and convince us that his plans for us are better than our plans for ourselves. And so the convincing of Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 5, he needs some convincing. It reads, "Woe to me," he cried, "I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips." See, Isaiah thinks that he's the author. He thinks he is. And I always get these confused, but is it which one writes their own story? The autobiography? We're not writing an autobiography. God is writing a biography about you. That's the story. The story he's writing, it's not you writing your story, it's God writing your story. And his story is much better. And he intervenes and has this transformative moment with Isaiah. And Isaiah's response to God's call to vision is to look at himself. He says, "I am ruined, and I'm a man of unclean lips." Have you ever felt ruined before? You ever have something that ruined you, wrecked you, messed you up? Come on, have you ever been in that place where all of a sudden you feel like you're damaged beyond repair? And maybe not just damaged, but discouraged beyond all hope. Can I tell you, you're in a good place today? He has a crisis of vision, and it affects how he sees himself in verse 5. And then it doesn't just end with his vision of himself. Verse 5 continues, and he says this, "And I live among a people of unclean lips." So look what Isaiah has done now. First, he has no vision for himself, and he has an inaccurate vision of who he really is. But because he has no vision for himself, if you don't have God's vision for you, you won't have God's compassion for people. If you don't have God's vision for you, you won't have God's compassion for people. And Isaiah quickly goes from, "I'm ruined, I'm wrecked, I'm unclean, and oh, by the way, these people are messed up too. Not even worth it." It's amazing what vision will do to your life. And many times I think it's a big journey from that point of God restoring us and God changing our perspective of who we are and kind of giving us his vision of who we are. And we think it's like a 3-year or a 5-year or a 10-year journey to get to a place where, okay, now I'm useful to God. Now I can do something for God. But this verse challenges that thought, because look how fast this happens. Verse 5 still. But Isaiah has this encounter, and he ends with saying, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." See, God showed up in that place, and when you see the King, when you see the King, now we don't have a great concept and understanding of kings and kingdoms because we're, you know, a democratic republic or a republic of whatever we are. Poli-sci majors, fill in the blank. That's what we are, and we don't have a great, but kings and kingdoms operate differently than by the people for the people. And Jesus is the King. And when you see the King, when you see him as God Almighty, when you see him as he knows it all, sees it all, and he can do it all, and we just need to say, okay, Lord, my eyes have seen the King. See, God meets our failures with his faithfulness. Get some vision today. Isaiah got some vision. He received fresh vision for his life from this verse. In seeing God, Isaiah began to see himself differently. And what seemed impossible was now in the hands of a God who does the impossible. What seemed improbable was in the hands of a God who was loving, compassionate, caring, had vision not just for his life, but lives around him. God's vision for your life gives you a joy, and it gives you a purpose. It gives you strength. And suddenly we see others. Suddenly when we see the King, suddenly not only can we see ourselves better, we can see others in their hurt. And we can see others in their doubt. And we can see others in their brokenness. And we rush to help because we have purpose. Because God's empowered us. We have a compassionate King and his eternal kingdom. And God begins to work. And I believe this was something that somebody told me years ago. God is going to do a miracle parade in front of this church. Do you remember that, Jeff? Jeff's in the front row. He was here from the very beginning. God's going to do a miracle parade. And I believe that God's going to do a miracle parade to tell the story of his amazing grace and his incredible, impossible love. And it's going to be a story like this one. Can I tell you a story? It's not just any story, but it's our story, an impossible story. It started over a decade ago when God gave Heather and I an impossible dream. It was a dream to start a church in the nation's capital. We wanted to live here, make our lives here, raise our kids, and be part of a great church here. It seemed so impossible, and we felt like the most improbable people. But God had a plan. Much like Isaiah, we responded with a simple, "Here we are, Lord. Send us." And I remember our very first vision day. We rented a small back room at a restaurant on Pennsylvania Avenue. It was called Elephant and Castle. The room was cramped. There were no more than 30 of us. We had no marketing, no website, not even a logo. Everything was small, but our dreams were so big. One by one, people started to join us. The one has always mattered to God, and in those days, we learned to love the one. Then things began to gain momentum. God began to open doors. We started building a team and serving our city. Leaders began to catch the vision. We bought a historic building, began reaching nearby colleges. Children's ministry grew, new families joined. We started citizen groups to strengthen community. We began Growth Track to train more leaders. The team began to multiply. We went from one weekend experience to 2 to 3, then another campus. Every week, people were saying yes to Jesus and added to the church. Fast forward 12 years later, after a lot of traffic, a lot of prayers, and a lot of parking tickets, but mostly a lot of incredible people. And look what God has done. In 2018, we saw more people in groups, more people going through Growth Track, more people becoming a part of the team and getting involved. We celebrated changed lives in our nights of worship and water baptisms. We saw Heights Sisterhood and Heights Men draw hundreds, gathering, growing, and going deeper in God and in relationship.
2018 was a year of reaching and sowing. And through the Heights Foundation, we saw God work within the city and around the world. Through Compassion International, we built a child development center in El Salvador. Our continued sponsorship of the children who attend is making a world of difference. Our partnership with A21 has been extraordinary as they lead the charge to end human trafficking, raising awareness, assisting victims, and standing for justice. Through Convoy of Hope, we've helped respond to natural disasters and giving relief efforts globally, helping disaster survivors recover and helping resource their daily feeding ministry that reaches thousands of children. And through the Association of Related Churches, we help start 72 new churches around the United States. These new churches have brought life and hope to their communities. As a Hillsong Family Church, we've supported efforts through Vision Love, Preemptive Love, World Vision, Refugee Response, and many more desperately needed ministries around the globe. And not just around the world, but here in our own city. We've watched the Heights Foundation make a positive difference in its first year. Together, we mentored students, sponsored feeding ministries, reached the homeless, supported our troops, and blessed our city. It's good to remember. It's good to tell the story. And as we told his story this year, here's the real story within the story. In 2018, 377 people said yes to Jesus at Citizen Heights. Each person so significant and so special. Thank you for caring about the one. And thank you for carrying the vision. We've always had a place for the one, and we've got a place for you too. Let's keep trusting God together. Let's keep building together. Let's see with eyes of faith. We'll always be a church that is expanding, growing, and reaching. Together, we have a holy purpose and a heavenly mission. So let's live with vision for our future. And let's continue to respond like Isaiah when he said, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In seeing him, we see ourselves and the world different. It's like we prayed 12 years ago as a church, and it's still our response today. Here we are. Send us.
Come on, is anybody excited in here? Can you believe? God has done so much, and we have such a generous church and people who came forward in the early days and said, "Let's go for God." Here we are. Let's do this. During First Experience, people were texting me saying, "I'm all in. Let's do more. Let's go for more." And Isaiah saw the King. And in that encounter, he began to see others. And I think that it's hard sometimes in the day of small beginnings, like small moments. I remember, you know, going into Elephant and Castle, that restaurant on Vision Day. I remember carrying the projector under my arm and my laptop with me and projecting onto a wall and just saying, "This is all the things that God is going to do, and this is what we're believing for." And it probably sounded foolish then because it was just so far beyond. But how many know God's vision for your life is beyond us? And Isaiah in chapter 6 again, verse 8, we'll just follow his story. And then I want to show you one more thing. He has this encounter where he sees the King, and then he begins to see others. And in verse 8 and verse 9, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" He said, and God said, "Go and tell the people." Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." Now, I think you can, Isaiah makes a quick journey. Listen, you don't have to hang out with us for a year. Or two, or three, or five. It takes a moment of seeing the King. And from verse 5 of "Who am I?" he goes to verse 8 and 9 to say, "Here am I." It's such a quick turnaround when God gives you vision. It's such a quick turnaround when God begins to reveal his heart for you and for the world around you. And then he begins this regal tour where he's not just walking by his own preferences, his own desires, his own strategies. He's now representing the King. He's now bringing the king and the glory of the king and the plans and the purposes of the king to his workplace. Come on, as a middle school teacher, you need to know you're on a regal tour. You're bringing the plans and the purposes of God with you into that school. If you're an au pair, you're bringing it. Come on, if you're in government, you're bringing it, and we're behind you in it. Come on, wherever you are in the medical profession or in law or in politics or a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, who am I leaving out? From the front to the back, from side to side, all of us have been given a call. It's a commissioning. And I'm okay if God wants to convince us a little bit today, because we need vision. Because when you get it, you walk with purpose and you walk with compassion and you walk differently than you used to walk before. You get a new sense of him. And we need vision. You know, I looked up Proverbs 29, and it talks about what happens if you don't have vision. Because sometimes you lose it. Have you ever lost it? Like, you lose it, and everything's a grind, and everything's confusing, and you lose the flavor of life. But God's vision brings a blessing with a purpose. And I looked at Proverbs 29, and this is what it says about those who don't have vision. They wander. They run wild. They live unrestrained. They get out of control. They scatter their efforts. They stumble all over themselves. They do what they want, and they perish. Hey, God's vision for you is good, and it leads to something powerful. See, for our community here at Citizen Heights, a new year brings about a new opportunity. It's a new opportunity to say, God, what do you have for us? We don't need another list of to-dos, but we need to catch the heart of a God who says, it's already done. Go. Be my emissaries. Be the royal representatives. You've seen the king. Now make the king known. Let him be seen by those around you. It can be intimidating coming into a new year for us, because God's vision for us is always beyond us. Just always will be. And it seems impossible, because he's about people. And there's always more people. So it's always further than we've been before. But vision pushes us forward into those unexpected moments where there's going to be more sacrifice and more sowing. And we say, who am I? Okay, I see. That's who I am. Here I am. Here I am. I'm ready to sow. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to reach. I'm ready to do what God, give me your download so that I can be who you've called me to be. It takes faith to say yes to God's vision for your life, doesn't it? But can I tell you, from it'll never change. We'll always be a church who has more vision than we have money. We'll always be a church that has more vision than we have team members. We'll always be a church that has more vision than we have staff. That's always going to happen. We'll always be a church that has more vision than we have buildings. We'll always have more vision than we have any other resource. Why? Because God's vision is always going to be out there on the edges, beyond what we have. Because when in our weakness, his strength is perfected. And he shows up in the midst of that. With vision, we see the king. With vision, we see possible awaits. So let me tell you now, show you this, and just talk about God's vision for us as a church this year.
Like Isaiah, when we see the king, we see the world with eyes of faith, a new compassion, and a divine mission. But where do we begin? And can we really make a difference? Nelson Mandela once said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." I like that. I wonder what seemingly impossible things will be done this year. We want to invite you right now to see what we see in our future together. First, we see community. It's central to the gospel. And we see our buildings as a tool to build people. We'll always be investing in buildings. So in 2019, we'll be launching several projects. First, we're planning a state-of-the-art theater seating upgrade in the balcony. It'll be the best seats in the house. We'll also be building a new growth track room to inspire, to teach, and to train. We'll be updating the lobby with a waiting and gathering area, renovating Citizen Kids areas to reflect our emphasis on the next generation. Finally, our Citizen Hall transformation is already underway to be completed in February. We believe the facility God has given us is a sacred trust to serve people. In 2019, we see our Fairfax campus preparing for a future building all their own. The Home of Our Own campaign is readying us for that big moment. Recently, we found 10 acres of land just a few miles from our Fairfax location. It's very early on, and in the natural, it's still beyond us. But we serve in all things our possible God. We believe God has a great, big, beautiful facility and lots of land saved up just for us. The Home of Our Own campaign is another step to get there. In the same way, we see campus connectivity. We've long dreamt of connecting campuses through a live feed, and today that's officially become a reality. Initially, it's a one-way connection, but as our incredible Fairfax broadcast team grows, we look forward to a two-way connection, both sending and receiving. And with this new technology, there's no limit on where we can reach. We love our Fairfax family, and we know there's more. This is only the beginning. Speaking of imagining more, we see an open door to go after areas of our city that have been unreachable from our current locations. We're calling it the Citizen Heights Pop-Up Experience. Imagine a church that says, if you won't come to us, we'll come to you. In order to reach people we've never reached, we'll do things we've never done. We believe bringing the presence of God to new neighbors, serving them practically, and preparing the ground for what God has next is central to God's heart and our vision as a church. Stay tuned for dates and locations of pop-ups this year. Next, we see the need to improve our digital front door. Those looking for answers go online to get a sense of who we are as a church. So we've designed a brand new website, and it launches today. After many months of design, it has it all. A beautiful new interface, improved functionality, an updated style, campus-specific information, calendar, prayer requests, how to plan a visit, how to take your next steps, ways to share your story, and even ways to invite a friend. It also has a vastly improved, industry-standard online giving platform that streamlines the process and simplifies your access to your own giving statements. We believe our website should be helpful, functional, and beautiful, and I love it, and I think you're gonna love it too. There's two other exciting ways we're improving these digital doors. The first is Citizen Heights Live. We're calling it CH Live, and it launches today. It's a live viewing experience that will help keep you in the moment and in step every Sunday morning in real time. Even if you're not here, you can still be here. And the second way, launching in a few months, is our church app. It will have quick, easy, mobile access to online features that you would naturally want daily access. Things like podcasts, media viewers, Bible study tools, online giving, prayer requests, even joining a citizen group. We believe technology, although not a replacement for community, can help people find their way, grow in God, and stay connected. Now you'll have everything you need to take Citizen Heights with you on the go. In 2019, we see our church helping make an impact in global homelessness. In James 2:16, the Bible tells us to provide practically for those in need. It says, don't just talk about it, get something done. So Heights Foundation is adding a new global partner this year. New Story. It's a housing provider that has developed 3D printer technology that prints houses for entire communities. In 4 years, they've built more than 1,600 homes across 4 countries. We're excited about helping to provide homes for some of the world's most vulnerable. And speaking of homes, we see our church helping more and more people find God and find their fit in a church home. It's really one of our passions. And when they visit church, we want God to exceed their every expectation. Sadly, a lot of people's expectations are pretty low when it comes to church. We're going to change their view of church and give them a chance to find Jesus. We see 2 strategic campaigns designed to activate the church and to make room for the unchurched. It's worth going after those who have fallen through the cracks or given up on God. And it all starts next month, so stay tuned for all the details. In addition, we'll continue to partner with our local and international ministries and watch God do what only He can do. 2019 is going to be a big year of getting things done. You know, together as we look to the future, we know we can't do this alone. We need the King to inspire lives with hope and remove every limitation. We need the King to whisper His impossible dreams into believing hearts. And when we see the King, we see the world with eyes of faith. a new compassion, a divine sense of mission. Having seen the King through the goodness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, we now see the plan of God. And that plan includes us. What I'm saying is, we need you. This is our Regal Tour, bringing God's hope and help by lifting people to new heights. I'm inviting you to join us this year like never before. Maybe it's time to take growth track classes and join a team. Start that citizen group you've been thinking about. Get involved in the Heights Foundation through the Heart for the House annual offering. Join the pop-up team or join the Fairfax broadcast team. Or maybe you just need to settle it. There's a place for you here. There's a lot to do, and we have room for more. Remember, great vision always seems impossible until it's done. God's possible awaits us in 2019. Let's not keep it waiting too long.
Come on, are you excited? Excited about what God's going to do? Come on, 2019 is going to be our best year. It's going to be our best year. We're going to continue to write, and God's going to write this amazing story together. Amen. There's a place for you. You know, we read Isaiah's story and read his account, his convincing. And if you've ever been in a place where you feel wrecked, where you feel ruined, where you feel unclean, where you feel like I'm limited, I'm disqualified, you're in good company today. Some of God's all-time greats have felt that same feeling, but walked and stepped into a place of faith to say, God, if you see it in me, if you have vision for me, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say, here I am. And look what happens to Isaiah. In verse 7, he said, the king said to him, I've touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. What an amazing moment when you see God and you don't see him as the overlord. You don't see him as the God who's mad at you. You see him as the God who's madly in love with you. You see him for who he truly is. And for whatever reason, years of busyness or religious exercises has robbed us of the true joy of seeing God's heart and vision for our lives. Maybe you're like many of us in this room, where you feel like what God wanted for your life got messed up, got detoured. Heather and I, this past summer, we were in Rome and we got to go to the Sistine Chapel. What an incredible, incredible opportunity to see art and to see these paintings. We looked at all these paintings and we just fell in love with this pure expression, this beautiful culmination of an artist's vision in every brushstroke, every line, bringing it to life. Then I was online, we were looking recently online for some art, and I found this artist who takes old Renaissance paintings, and he takes the Renaissance painting, and then he begins to add layers of graffiti and marks and scribbles all around the outer edges of it. And my eye was so drawn to it, I said, I want, like, every one of these guys' paintings. More than I want the Rembrandt. Well, that's an overstatement. Because there's something so honest about a work of art that the artist created and is beautiful, but then it gets a scribble, it gets a scar, it gets a mark, it gets some unintended stroke across it. There's something beautiful about your ashes. God's not just the creator, he's the recreator. And he makes everything beautiful. He takes your life and my life. It doesn't matter how wayward, it doesn't matter all the distortion, it doesn't matter all the layers of unintended. God, you did not design this part of my life, but he can turn it for good. And it will be beautiful, and it will attract those around you, and it will bring a new strength of self to you, knowing that God sees you and loves you and still has plans for you. Can I pray for you right now? I want to pray for our whole church. Just close your eyes, no moving around. Father, I thank you that we're going to be a church that sees the King in 2019. Father, we're going to forget our limitations. We're going to believe you for the impossible. We're going to go all out for you. Lord, we're going to be those that say, here we are, send us. Here we are to serve, to sow, to go, to give. Father, we're here because you've convinced us by your grace. You've convinced us again by your love for us, that your plans and your purposes, they're better than our plans. So we say yes to you. And with every eye closed, I want to pray for one more group of people here. You're here today. Yeah, all of us need God in this room. But some of us need an introduction. And I want to introduce you right now. With every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, I'm going to invite you to lift your hand. By lifting your hand, you're not joining a church, but you're saying, I need God to be the author and finisher of my story. I need God in my life. I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand. And when you do, I'm not going to call you out of your seat or get you to stand up or trick you into coming down front. It's just between you and God and me a little bit, because I like to know who I'm praying with. And I think there's something powerful that happens when there's an outward response to an inward decision to say yes to Jesus. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, it's a new beginning for you because Jesus sees you. Are you ready? One, two, three, hands in the air. Nice and high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nice and high. That's me. That's me. Include me in that prayer, Pastor. I'm going to include you in that prayer. And I'm just believing God today. This might be the first time you've ever made this decision, or it might be a recommitment moment. Because you found yourself in a place and you don't know how you got there. God knows how. And God knows how to walk you out of it. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand, but you're going to pray this prayer with us nice and loud all together. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender all I am and I put it in your hands. Thank you that you have vision for my life, a greater vision, a bigger vision. So I surrender and I say, here I am. Now say this boldly, I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved, in Jesus' name. Come on, can we celebrate with those who just prayed that prayer? Come on, how good is our God?